The reading today is from 1 Kings 17, and it's verses 8 through 24. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out, and he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rains on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate of many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug or oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him up into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. As we talk about mothers in the Bible, it seems quite right that we remember Mary. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. For the last 3 weeks, we've talked about women in the Bible, and we've looked at some of the great women who were daughters, sisters, or wives. For some, their relationships played a key part in their availability to be used by God. All of them were recorded, these stories anyway that we've read, have been recorded in the Holy Bible, and we've taken this opportunity to learn from them. Thinking about talking about mothers, I couldn't stop thinking about that prayer that my little Abigail had brought home. This year for 4K, my Abigail went to St. Denis Catholic School. Quite a shocker for some in my family, as none of us have ever been Catholic. We have a tradition at our house that at dinner time we say a prayer, And currently, my children fight over whose turn it is to lead the prayer. Yes, that is a gift in my heart to watch them fight over who gets to pray. But one day, she came home with that one, and she couldn't remember quite all the words, so like a good mother, I quickly Googled it so I could join in. And with her little head bowed, she said, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen." I don't know if her teacher taught her to highlight the word sinners and death, or if those were her own. But it definitely got the conversation going at our house. I've shared with you the last couple of weeks that the challenge I've had with finding stories in the Bible about women, especially the kind I like, that are kind and sweet, enduring, the ones that would lift me up as well as the women that were being talked about. I shared with you my frustration with the ways that women were treated, mistreated, abused, or even attempted to be the abusers. But alas, we've come to our fourth week, and I've continued to look. And this week I looked for mothers in the Bible. And our story today is about the mother, or as she's called here, the widow of Zarephath. A woman who is very aware of her lack thereof, that is being asked by a stranger to give her something to eat. And you heard her response. It could be interpreted as fear that she doesn't have enough. Her response could be interpreted as dramatic. Oh, that we may eat it and die, right? Yeah. Or maybe it's just a realistic response. We have very little, not enough, and I don't have any bread baked to share with you. And yet she gets told by the prophet that's there, "Do not be afraid." You've heard that before, right? In the Bible, "Do not be afraid." We heard it when it was spoken to Mary, spoken to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, right? Hagar was told, "Do not be afraid." Ichabod's mom. Countless others have heard, "Do not be afraid," or "Fear not," usually right before something very scary happens. Yeah. And something very scary did happen to the widow of Zarephath. Her son did not die of hunger like she had feared, thank God, right? But he did die. Illness was brought into the house and left him with no breath, and quite naturally the mother turns to the newest visitor in the home and says, "What do you have against us that you brought this sickness to us?" Her words were direct. They were filled with blame and filled with pain. Usually those most direct words are filled with one of those. When we're really upset, we can say exactly what we're thinking. And she was thinking that Elijah had done this to her. But he doesn't miss a beat. Using his own body, his spirit, and prayer, he reaches out to God and the child lives. This is one of the miracle stories in the Bible, no doubt. But there's so much more to it. Many times accounts like this are shared, at least in my understanding, have been shared in the Bible so that we may have a greater faith and understanding in those who God has sent. This time, perhaps, to lift up Elijah. God sent Elijah. This confirms that he is a prophet and a man of God, because God used him to make a miracle. The power of his healing could guide our hearts to see him in light of this prophetic power and as a blessing from God. But today we're not looking at Elijah or the men of the Bible, we're looking at the women. And today we're looking at how this woman, this widow, can remind us of the deep faith that women have carried for many, many years. Many times carried it in an unnamed or unmentioned way, but that their faith kept the connection, the devotion, the faith alive, carried by mothers. We can learn from this widow's behavior. We can learn about her faith. her persistence, her hospitality. We can learn from each of those. Perhaps we also learn a little from her quick anger or her ability to get results in even unbelievable circumstances. I like that one the best. You choose. What will you learn from this widow as we look at her as a mother? This story inspires my faith. I've told you sometimes I struggle a little bit with believing. But finding this unnamed widow, finding her story this week inspired me. It helps me to consider whether or not I would believe enough in the ones sent by God, if I would believe them enough to receive a miracle. It made me wonder if I could open my door or my life to someone and share from my scarcity and trust in God all the while. Honestly, when I think about mothers, I prefer to consider some of the other ones in the Bible. Oh, I love the story of Elizabeth. Yeah, her barren years and her 5 months of seclusion after becoming pregnant. The child that leaps in her womb when Mary is present. For me, her story has been life-giving, an account of faithfulness, of God's steadfast love and presence, and the reminder that nothing is impossible with God. Even Mary's story inspires me, a young woman who has so much faith that she says, "Let it be according to your word." Even when something scary is about to happen. I mean, think about this, a young person or an old person, right? Willingly opening themselves up to such a major, "Yes, God." Whew. Well, I guess Mary did. And she became the Holy Mother. But many women have not been blessed with children. They never got to be mothers. In the Bible, too, it talks about some of those women who feared what they would lose, and so they offered their concubines or their servants to their husbands in hope that the product of another's womb would redeem them in some way, make them worthy in some way. And yet, in those accounts, yeah, look those up. In those accounts, it ends in bitterness and separation and broken relationships. Most all of them. Even the woman who raised Moses after finding him in that bed of reeds, her mothering became the remembrance of her story. That's what we think about her for. She raised Moses and how she adopted him, and yet she gave space for the birth mother to be in his life. Beautiful story of two women co-parenting. From these women and from many more, I have learned that the women in the Bible might easily be labeled as bad girls of the Bible, right? Or slightly bad girls of the Bible, or really bad girls of the Bible, if you want to read about them. Liz Curtis has 3 books by those titles. Ooh, they're fun. Yeah, good women's group book to read, yeah. Yeah, and yet these acts of snarky work, the actions that we hear about from these women might have been displeasing, or even when they went behind the backs of their husbands, they were done with the future, with the children in mind. The future. The women of the Bible helped me to look to the future with hope. Knowing what these women have endured and what they were willing to do and how they were a blessing to those around them, that is life-giving for me. Hearing stories about a virgin's womb or a almost empty jar of a widow, or the banishment of a slave after producing the much-requested child, or the woman whose husband fell deaf due to the laughing that he did at God after the baby was growing in her womb. Those stories are life-giving to me. What do they do for you? Does their faith inspire you? Does their commitment invite you? Do the miracles transform you? Do you feel connected to God when you hear their stories? I hope so. I hope, with God's help, that their stories enrich your faith and help you continue to believe.